Maybe this will break the ice a little bit, because I feel a little bit shaky. I was tempted to put my sock into my pet leg into my sock, because I'm told by Andy Yoder that people won't expect as much out of you that way. I, of course, as you all know, have been anticipating this and somewhat dreading this, but I'm glad that today will end too, and I'm glad too that God has been faithful and give me a word. And I do have some notes. In fact, in the last 3 weeks, I've got lots of notes. And last night, I was about midnight. I said, "This is not real. There ain't no way that I can deal with all this." So I'm thankful for a word processor, and actually know how to somewhat use it. I still have some problems. I got about halfway through my agenda, and I hit a wrong key. Blunk. I need to sit with James for a little while and know how to get back what I lost. But anyway, I would like to talk just a little pre-sermon talk maybe. And I was tempted to ask Reuben to sit right up here somewhere, because I can talk to one person, but I have a problem talking to a large crowd. Now, the crowd's not quite as big this morning, and so maybe I'll get by. And I see Reuben back there, so he'll be all right. I told him that I might do this, but he's okay there. By the way, Mr. Reuben, is your bride here today? I see a single lady over here that usually has her husband along. What's going on here? There was something said in our Sunday school class about divorce and our separation. And you know, that's maybe a little bit of my talk this morning. I look at you as a hurting congregation. And I look at some people that aren't here that should be here as a hurting people. And over my life, I have sensed a calling, you may say, not to preach. And I'm still trying to figure out that calling, maybe, sometimes. And I was... I guess I'll have to go back to my notes to keep myself straight. I also realize that I am a storyteller and that I have lots of rabbit trails, and you guys know that. And so I do have something with somewhat of an agenda and a time schedule. I would like to talk just a little bit about Amos. And the reason I like to talk about him, he has a plumb line. And when you think about Amos, it's a plumb line. And I'm probably going to take it out of its context a little bit, because I feel just a little bit like Amos did when God called him. And just to tell you a little bit about the story, Amos pleads for Jacob, the little tribe. Says, "God, don't bring this woe on this little tribe, Jacob. Protect it." And so God says, "Oh Lord God, cease that pray. Oh, that Jacob may stand, for he is small." So the Lord relented over concerning this. "This also shall not be." You know, Amos has the word of woe. And the enemy's going to come, and your family's going to be turn out bad. And the Lord said, "Thus he showed me, behold, the Lord stood on a wall made with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to Amos, 'What do you see?' And I said, 'A plumb line.' And then the Lord said, 'Behold, I'm setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not pass by them.'" Well, that's a tough saying. Anymore. "The high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. I will rise with the sword against the house of Jeroboam." Wow. And so Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jehoiakim, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear his words, for thus Amos has said. And he tells him what Amos is saying. And he tells him that, go away, go someplace else. I don't want to hear what you got to say. And so Amos confronts Amaziah, which is the king. And he says, I was a prophet. I was no prophet, nor was I son of a prophet, but I was a sheep herder or a sheep breeder and a tender of sycamore fruit. Then the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy. This is what Amaziah and the priests and the king said to him. And do not prophesy against Israel, and do not spout against the house of Isaac. You know, don't bring a curse on us. But you know, God said what he did. Then the book of Amos, and here's what I'd like to bring out, is even though there's a plumb line in that book, and we talked about it in our class, this is wrong and this is right. This is black, and black is black, and white is white. And I'm here this morning not to teach gray. And Dale mentioned a little bit, and I forget how he said it, There's things that matter. There are things that we might call gray that we have to make a judgment call on it. We have to put the line on it and say, well, this is the way God would have us deal with this subject or this issue. So I'm not here to teach gray, but I am here to teach that God is a judge. Judgment is his. Now, we do have to decipher right from wrong in our lives, in our daily lives. While we're traveling on the Broadway, Brian says, we're right in the middle of people on this side and this side that are not going the right way. And our challenge is to minister to them. I have a friend, Lloyd Miller. He's in somewhere in Ohio. And Reuben, why don't you look up Hebrews... Now, you know I'm going to pick on you. Let's see. I got to look in my notes. Where's it at? Hebrews 4 something. Embarrassing. You don't know what you're going to talk about. Maybe I'll go to his letter that he wrote and where is that? Hebrews 4:16. Let me just tell you what his letter reads and then you'll understand. His letter says, and I guess it might have been in a post somewhere, he actually asked me to share my testimony to him and wondering what I'd say about some things. And here's the deal. He was married for 20 years, and his ex-mother-in-law was a very, very godly woman. But in a tough time in his life, he divorced, separated. Very tough time. Now, he's dealing with that. And he says, maybe this is time to read Hebrews 4:16. You got it, Reuben? I don't know. We don't have a mic, but you can talk loud. I know you can. He's in need. What does he do? So what he said to and wrote back to me or commented to me, I forget how it was, said, well, yesterday I went to my ex-mother-in-law's funeral. She was 97. And me and her daughter divorced at a very difficult time in my life. Her mom was a true follower of Christ, and it showed up at her funeral by the Christian friends that paid their respect. It was hard to go and see what was part of my family for 20 years, but God got me through. So I guess my heartbeat is there's a lot of hurting people, and you're hurting people. I'm a hurting person. How do we heal? I would have liked to be able to sing that song, Why Me, Lord? What did I ever do to be worthy of you? Made mistakes. I was a youth. I'm not real proud of some of that stuff. But you know what? I'm forgiven. Hallelujah. You, having Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, should be the happiest, joyous people in the world. But we get loaded down, don't we? by the way, fussed a little bit about Reuben. He was saying, Ray, we're looking to you for a sermon or something. I said, no, you're looking to me for a talk. You might want to call it a sermon talk. But in this plumb line of Amos, he also, the key words are plumb line and hope. And somewhere here, in my notes, I have the last chapter of Amos. And it says, on that day, you know, after all this evil or this God withholding his strength. And by the way, I would like to say that today we are embarrassed at our leader on Capitol Hill's past life. It's embarrassing. But let's think about in the Old Testament, just like in Amos's time, there were times when the children of God fell away and God took away his blessing. But Amos, in the last verses here, he says, on that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as it was in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does this thing. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will bring back the captives of my people, Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord God. And I see that it is now, if I can see right, it is 10:45. And I haven't told you yet what I'm going to preach or talk about. Excuse me, Reuben. Talk about. I'd like to talk to you just a little bit about, and maybe it's a question. how does God talk to you? Now, there's very few people that have heard an audible voice. That actually is the lesson title, sermon title, How Does God Talk to You? And a customer of mine asked me that one day. And now I just like to insert here, I realize that I haven't given you a lot of scriptures, and I haven't even told you what the text scripture is. And I may not even get to it, because I see the time is ticking. but if you would want to The text lesson scripture is 1 Peter 2:19, and I would like to read, maybe I don't have time, to read 11 through 21 in 1 Peter 2:19. And I better do it right now if I can turn to it real quickly. I'm in Corinthians, and I thought I had a bookmark here for this. Yes, here. And I'm just going to read that. That verse that I want to, and it deals with suffering. For this is commendable, for because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. That is what we want to address, suffering wrongfully. We do suffer sometimes, and the whole this chapter talks about, you know, rightfully suffering and rightfully being corrected. But what about suffering wrongfully? For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults and take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called to cause, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So that would be my where my little talk would have come from, suffering wrongfully. And I'm going to relate to you a little something that has been happening. I have a dear brother, and you would know him, most of you, that has been hurting for years and years and years. And at length, and I'm not going to tell you how long, but at length he, in the Bible study, related to me how that he has been misused, gossip, and because of this happened. And one person told me that I was the kindest man she ever met. And then 3 months later she said I was the most selfish man she ever met. And all because somebody said something. I guess it's a blame game. I don't know. Recorded years of, and I think in notes, but in his mind, years of wrongs done towards him. Hurting man. Now, we've heard several times here, Jonas talked about it, and several other people about forgiveness. And I was mowing. I guess that's my therapy. And I just started bawling. And I said, this man is going to have a good word if he doesn't forgive. Wrongfully, maybe. Rightfully, maybe. But either way, he has to forgive. You know, and I have a dear brother, black brother that comes. His name is Staley. Ezell Staley, and I asked him, I said, why don't you close in prayer? Guess what he did? And he did it the second time too. And we had mentioned some prayer requests. He just quoted the Lord's Prayer. It's in that prayer, forgive us as we forgive our trespasses. The Lord's Prayer, that's the Lord's own prayer guidelines for us. This person won't have a good, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm right there with Amos and saying, oh, brother, you're over on the left. You're going to have to forgive. We do. And that brings us to the hurt that you have. You have felt rejected. You have felt wrongly used. And so does the other side. Yeah, I'm not talking sides here. I'm just talking to members that have left here. Something is wrong. And I can't fix it. And I have it here in my notes that the greater the need, the greater the miracle. When healing comes, there's a miracle when we get healed. And I can't fix it. Mennonites are fixers, but they can't fix it. Denomination won't fix it. Tradition won't fix it. Culture won't fix it. We got to go back to the basics. And with that, in the time, which is 5 minutes or 12 or so, I would like to have that song, brother. And then I'd like to talk a little bit after the song, okay? This may seem kind of funny to start with, but it's a good closure. And you just go ahead and play it whenever you get
Romans
there, brother.
Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I believe God's word. I've always believed God's word. It's true.
Don't forget your stuff.
Thank you. When no one was listening to me but God, as I was praying, He heard me that night when I was lost and I needed saving. Just the little talk I had with Jesus sure made some changes. He took away my sin and forgave me while I was praying. So I'll keep on praying for someone today. There was a time that someone was me, for someone else praying. Whether it's healing a brother in need or a sinner needs saving, prayer still changes things today, so I'll keep on praying. The old pine, walk by the saints, now we are paying. We gave up so much down through the years, now the children are straying. The old preacher said we'd see these days in which we are living. It's time to go back to the old path of Bible believing. So I'll keep on praying for someone today. There was a time that someone was me, for someone else praying. Whether it's healing a brother in need or a sinner needs saving, prayer still changes things today, so I'll keep on praying. Prayer still changes things today, so I'll keep on praying. prayer still works today. I just like to mention a few incidents. I have a prayer warrior group that's really praying for me. Lisa is one of them, and she takes me, and Victor also takes me and said, "Yeah, we'll let you go, Dale. You're okay. You got to go pick up that wife. Don't leave her stranded." Lisa said, "There's a young lady that for 20 years has had migraine headaches, and just for your information, she works at Door of Hope, and she had one of these headaches, but she also had a counseling appointment with a counselor, and we had to walk her out to the vehicle to go to her appointment. And don't you know, there was prayer of healing given, and she doesn't have it anymore. No migraine headaches. And I don't know if this is happened in the last week, I think. So prayer works. And in our dismissal prayer here, I want you to think of somebody that you know that needs prayer. Somebody that's been hurt, somebody that needs healing spiritually, physically, and somebody is discouraged, somebody is lost, needs salvation. And then Rick Stem called me, and he's been calling me 3 times this week or 4, and very encouraging, excited that, Ray, you get to talk to your people. Oh, my goodness, I'm so excited. I think he's more excited than I was. But anyway, I was shakingly excited, and I probably came across a little bit. But he said that there were three healings of cancer. A young lady that had cancer, I don't know what her age was, but she got the word that she's cancer-free. And then we have Susie back here, Susie Williams. No, what a wonder. What a great God we serve. So my word is, don't get too burdened down. You got some good things scored for you. Praise God. Let us just pray. And Calvin, if you want to sing a song later, that's fine. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads before you, we know that you're the God, the great healer. And God, we're asking, like James instructs us, ask and you shall receive. We're asking, Lord, for healing. And we're asking for congregational healing. We're asking for your blessing on this congregation, God. Yes, we've made mistakes. We're embarrassed at some of our mistakes we've made towards these people that have went away. We felt rejected, but that's not really us, Lord. We have a burden, and we have care. And some of those didn't go away from here because they wanted some more liberties or some more things. They just went away hurt. So we pray for healing there as well. And God, just bless her going out. And as we as a church assemble, help church to be what it ought to be, exciting, a worship service, a praise service, anointing service, communion as we remember what you've done for us. Yes, Lord, a common union. Lord, just help us to be mission-minded. Help us, Lord, to go out and reach the lost. Help us to be missionaries for you. Forgive us when we fail. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening.